Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mbulio Gavaza, and for today, we're going to be having a discussion framing the impact of South Africa's financial institutions on communities that is brought to you by African Bank. Today, we're going to be specifically focusing on how African Bank is driving a positive impact in the communities that it serves. The bank's transformation and sustainability pillar drives community and youth empowerment initiatives, enterprise development for small businesses, and broader financial inclusion strategies. To help us to unpack things for today, we are joined by Edna Sateha Montse, who is the Group Chief Transformation and Sustainability Officer at African Bank. She's going to be helping us to unpack that vision, mission, and strategy just around how they are moving when it comes to transformation and sustainability. Edna, greetings to you today.
Greetings to you, Mudiwa, and to the listeners.
Where I want to start the conversation today, Edna, is just around social responsibility. It's such a broad topic, and we've seen that many businesses choose how they attack this particular issue. What are African Bank's key focus areas? And when I look at your title, for example, I see that it's transformation and sustainability. Some companies have corporate affairs and sustainability. Some companies, it's just sustainability. You know, what does all of this give us as insight into how African Bank is, you know, looking at areas of social responsibility?
Thanks, Mudiwa, for the question. I'm so happy that we're going to be having a discussion around this. It's an area of importance and really passion at the heart of African bankers. I think what's important is that we do not view responsibility, transformation, and sustainability as standalone activities. They are really part of how we do business. African Bank's focus areas, you know, really revolve around three key themes. So we look at the financial inclusion and economic participation, youth empowerment and skills development, and around supporting entrepreneurship and small business growth. When one thinks about purpose, you know, for African bankers, it's always been centered on enabling people to achieve financial well-being and progress in life. So we really focus on initiatives that help individuals build financial resilience, that improve employability and access opportunities, but that also really participate and help them to participate meaningfully in the economy. We also, of course, at the same time, recognize that sustainable impact requires partnerships with communities, because it's not something that you could be able to do on your own. So we really require partnerships with communities, education institutions, government, NGOs, and also, in fact, we've also partnered with the others in the private sector. So our approach is really around creating programs that have long-term developmental outcomes rather than short-term interventions.
Edna, one of the things that I've often said on this platform is that when I went to business school, we were taught around sustainability, and I'm never one to shy away from shouting out Rhodes Business School in that respect. And we were sort of taught that sustainability, you know, can't just be looked at in isolation, as you've just explained now, but if it's done in the right way, it can actually help to further the overall business initiatives and business objectives of an organization. So from that point of view, how does the bank ensure that sustainability is helping to drive some of those business objectives like growth, whilst also at the same time balancing the need for real impact?
For us, sustainability and business success are not competing priorities. So I think, Mudiwa, what you've said is absolutely spot on. A sustainable business is one that creates value for stakeholders. And this is all stakeholders, so customers, employees, communities, shareholders, and society at large. When communities prosper, businesses prosper. When young people gain skills and employment, they become economically active participants in society. So when small businesses grow, they actually create jobs and stimulate local economies. When one looks at our sustainability initiatives, you'll see that they're actually designed to create measurable outcomes while supporting long-term economic growth. So we assess our programs against both the social impact indicators as well as business outcomes to ensure that they are meaningful, scalable, and sustainable. And the key for us is ensuring that impact is embedded into decision-making rather than being treated as a separate corporate responsibility function, but really that it's woven in the way that African Bank works.
And when we talk about that, weaving into the core business and how you guys work, it does really sound like it's something that is happening across the board. How do you ensure the buy-in? Because we do know that from a business point of view, that tends to be one of the hardest parts. You can have the best intentions, the best laid out plans, but in terms of execution, you often need to make sure that you've got buy-in from your various levels. If we look specifically at employees, how are you ensuring that your employees are involved when it comes to some of your ground community projects, and initiatives run by your CSR departments? How do you make sure that actually happens?
One of the aspects we are most proud of is the commitment of our employees. Our African bankers have been absolutely amazing. Many of our programs are really successful because African bankers volunteer their skills, their time, expertise, and their energy. And we found that employees want to contribute because these causes are causes that create genuine change, particularly around education and, and youth empowerment, financial literacy, and community upliftment. We really encourage participation of our employees by creating opportunities where employees can engage meaningfully, whether through mentoring, through volunteering, financial education programs, skills transfer initiatives, and really supporting community projects right on the field. And they go right into these communities because these are communities that African bankers come from. These communities are homes. They're communities that we were raised in. They're communities where our families live. So it's not as though you are doing something that you don't see the impact thereof, because it's an impact that you feel. It's almost as though the employees themselves are giving back to themselves at the same time as giving, back to communities. So this involvement really creates a positive cycle because the communities benefit from our employees, whether in their professional expertise and so forth, while our employees at the same time experience a deeper sense of purpose and connection to African Bank's mission and really to themselves, because these are communities, as I say, that we come from.
Yeah, and with everything that you've just described, Edna, it really does sound like there's a concerted effort to make sure that people across the organization are doing their bit, to be part of, what the organization is doing. And at the end of the day, it is the people that are the agents, that are the agents of the business. A key part of that, on an employee level, is gender inclusivity, right? Because that's a key part of that employee base. How would you say African Bank, how you make that happen in the organization?
So our approach to gender inclusivity is that it's both a social and a business imperative, because within the organization, we strive to create an environment where women have access to opportunities, leadership pathways, development programs, and equitable career progression. However, more broadly, we also recognize the critical role that women play in families, communities, in entrepreneurship and economic growth. And so we've got quite a lot of women-led enterprises that continue to experience challenges in accessing opportunities and funding. So as African Bank, we do believe that we've got a responsibility to contribute towards creating a more inclusive economy by supporting access, capability development, and equal opportunities. And you'll find that you know, diverse organizations generally make better decisions because they benefit from a wider range of perspectives. And that's really important in serving a diverse customer base. And this is something that we do, as I say, internally in terms of our own women development and gender programs. However, externally, even if you think in terms of enterprise and supply development, and the fact that we even have programs that are targeted specifically for women-led businesses, and ensuring that even as we do youth development and work in terms of youth unemployment, we ensure that we do have an equitable proportion in terms of the gender contribution or gender combination of the people who come on board to participate in our unemployed youth programs as well. So we really look at it broadly and ensure that we cater our programs to be able to provide for more gender inclusivity.
Edna, maybe as a follow-up to what you've just spoken about when it comes to gender inclusivity as well as the getting buy-in from employees earlier on, sometimes there's criticism that is leveled around some of these efforts as tick box exercises. But it does sound like you've made an intentional effort to make sure that there is, you know, authenticity in how, some of these things are sort of being done. Maybe you could just talk to us around how you make that happen. There's probably others in your position that are, perhaps struggling, right now to say, how do you make sure that this is, we've got, we are authentic in how we approach these things, and so that the people and the communities that we serve, feel like they are actually being served, as opposed to, something just being done because it has to be done.
No, that's a very good question, Madiwa. So we've got a number of things that we do in terms of the approach and how we work with our colleagues as well as with the communities. So one of the things that is really quite a core to African Bank selecting which initiatives we're going to be supporting and so forth is that our colleagues actually are the ones who also contribute to that selection. So meaning that colleagues would say, in Community X, this is what I found, and I would really like for the bank to be able to make a difference and participate and contribute positively in adding value in that community. What this does is that it means that it is not the organization that just selects out of the blue, but that the organization selects because it's made up of people who come from these communities who better know what is happening in these communities. That's really taken us so far in terms of the employee volunteerism and colleagues going the extra mile. I mean, you hear them sharing, and they sent video clips and photos and so forth of things that they do not only during, our official African Bank initiatives, but even outside of work. The second part is that we've been quite intentional in affording colleagues the opportunity to give back. And so we've got something called a CSI Day. And that CSI day is captured as part of every employee's leave a day. So on your normal leave allocation, we add on as one of the discretionary leave days that is provided by the bank, a day for community and really social impact. And so you would then be able to say, I'm taking this day from my employer. It's paid leave, fully paid, but I'm going to spend it actually going out and contributing to social impact, whether it's in terms of corporate social responsibility towards a non-profit organizations, or it is actually towards a community upliftment, or in terms of social entrepreneurship and so forth. So we actually have that as a day that colleagues can have. The third component is whenever we go into communities, we don't just go and say, here we are as African Bank, and this is what we're going to do, so therefore take it. We actually engage and ask for permission, because we take for granted that as human beings, we don't want to feel as though we are somebody's charity case. We want to feel as though somebody's walking the journey with us, has put themselves in our shoes, has made the effort to first understand so that they can help us co-create solutions. And for example, even when we are doing our work in terms of the whole school development program, and we're going to be building, you know, schools like a dining nutrition center or classrooms and so forth in a particular community, we always make sure that we engage with stakeholders that include the school itself, the school governing body, the local authorities, including both the traditional leadership as well as the municipal leadership and the community at large. And we ask, we come and we say, as African Bank, this is what we would want to do. We want to work with you and partner with you. Are you allowing us into your space to co-create solutions and add value? And if so, can we work together and then come and reach an amicable way forward? And we work together to make sure that also there isn't an expectation that says that we have got unlimited resources, both financial and non-financial, but rather one that says, with what we do have, what can we do and achieve? And then perhaps we pull in other partners who can be able to take it just a bit further than we might have been able to on our own. So I found that doing a combination of those, and that's just, you know, what comes top of mind. It's not the only aspects that we try to use from an approach perspective that ensures that you don't only just have buy-in, but you actually have a valid interest by colleagues, because this is something that impacts on them. It's the communities that they know and that they have an affinity with. Equally so, even with communities, to ensure that they have that vested interest, because we came to them with respect and with Ubuntu, saying we see you, we recognize you, we want to be part of this community, and how can we be able to do that in a manner that is also you know, one that you receive positively.
Edna, this definitely feels like a good time for us to then check how you assess success in these particular respects. You've got these various initiatives that you are doing. You've got various stakeholders, various communities that you're serving. You've just described a number of different programs that are, you know, for the communities that you're serving, but also at the same time, making sure that you've got the buy-in from employees, encouraging that participation. What does success look like for you? How do you measure it? And could you perhaps call out a couple of instances of success that you'd want to highlight?
So, you know, the part of success for me is multi-pronged. And I think from an African Bank perspective, we've got metrics that one can be able to measure. For example, our biggest successes, you know, have been the ability to create programs, initiatives that positively impact people's lives while remaining true to our purpose. But ultimately, success is measured not by the number of projects we run, but by the lasting difference those initiatives have made in the lives of the individuals, the families, the entrepreneurs, and communities that we serve. One looks at, you know, progress through the lens of saying, increased support for youth development and employability, strong employee participation in our community initiatives and programs, expanded opportunities for entrepreneurs and small businesses, you know, greater focus on financial inclusion and economic participation. We've also looked at and have seen an increase in recognition through respected, you know, social impact, sustainability, and social finance awards. But for us, if African Bank can help people access opportunities, build financial resilience, and create a better future for themselves and their families, then we believe we are fulfilling our purpose. And metrics really differ from program to program. And some would be, you know, at the start of initiatives, Initiative X, what was the turnover of the entity, for example? What was the number of jobs that had been created at that point in time, or that existed at that point in time, the number of customers or clients that were being serviced. And then you then compare that at the end of that initiative to saying, Has there been a marked improvement? And also, is it one that is sustainable? Has the entrepreneur themselves been able to grow beyond where they were previously and are now seeing a more sustainable future and pathway that would lead them into the future for their business? In terms of the communities, you know, if you had a school that, for example, didn't have a classroom facilities or specific educational curriculum facilities, were able to check, okay, at point X, this was perhaps the number of academic staff that had this level of CDP points. And so therefore, by the time that we end our engagement in that specific year or that specific initiative, this is how we've been able to increase their CDP points and the ability to be able to be assessed and as understanding whatever intervention from an academic upliftment that would have been. The number of now students who are able to have a chair that is their own, as well as a desk that is their own, as opposed to sharing one chair together and one desk as multiple, you know, learners. That is some of the metrics that we use. The ability, for example, for now, children to be able to actually, you know, have a place to say I'm using as ablution facilities, as opposed to previously in some of our schools that we've supported, where in fact it was, you know, when nature calls, you go out to nature because there wasn't necessarily facilities that were available. And in some others, the facilities included a pit toilet. So you check that part. And in others, I mean, we've got children who, when they started with our learn, you know, accelerated learning programs and matric, when you enter in January, we do the initial assessment and you are getting, for example, 12% in maths, and we focus maths, science and English with the areas that we focus on. And at the time that we assess in June or at the prelims and so forth, we see a marked difference. And by marked, I'm not talking about single digit. You know, we've had learners or students rather who would be on the African Bank program and had never thought of further education and training. By the time that they actually go through our program and end it, so many more of them now have gotten to a point where they've got the problem that says, I didn't apply because we never thought that this was even a possibility. And so now we need to then apply for these opportunities of further education and training because we now have moved 50% from a 12% to a 60 or 70% in the likes of mathematics and so forth. So these are real life, you know, metrics and the like. But as I said, we theme them, so to speak, but each program has got its own metrics that we check what would measure for us a success.
The bank has won a number of awards, such as the Social Bond EMEA Finance Achievement Award. How significant are such awards, and how do they reflect the initiatives from African Bank to small, micro, and medium enterprises? And more broadly, you know, how do some of these awards perhaps shed a light on the work that's being done by the bank?
So these awards are really never the reason we do work, the work that we do. But they do provide important external validation and recognition. And so the recognition, such as the EMEA Finance Social Bond, demonstrates that there is growing acknowledgement of African Bank's commitment to creating meaningful social and economic impact. You know, importantly, these recognitions signal that innovative financing mechanisms can in fact be used to channel capital towards developmental outcomes, such as supporting our micro, small, and medium enterprises. And for us, this is really quite heartening, because for us, the greatest measure of success is not the award itself, but the positive outcomes achieved by the individuals, the entrepreneurs, and the communities that benefit from these initiatives. So the award, in a sense, reinforces our belief that financial performance and social impact can in fact be achieved together.
One of the things that I'm quite curious about when some of these awards come, does it, you know, sort of give you the, can I call it a feeling, the impetus to say, okay, we're doing something and it's being, you know, recognized? And I ask that because, you know, sometimes with certain awards, they just recognize, whereas in some cases, you sort of have to put yourself, up for an award. What do you think shining a light on some of those successes does, you know, for your broad swath of initiatives as African Bank?
Well, absolutely. I mean, awards are encouraging because they provide independent recognition that the work we are doing is making a meaningful contribution. They signal that external stakeholders see value in the way that African Bank is approaching sustainability, financial inclusion, and broader economic development. That said, we are careful not to measure success by awards alone. Awards are an outcome, not the objective. The real objective for African Bank is creating positive and sustainable impact for the customers, the communities, our entrepreneurs, and the young people that we serve. So what awards do is give us confidence that our strategy is moving in the right direction. They validate that it is possible to pursue the strong business performance while also creating strong social value. They also motivate our employees and our partners who invest significant effort into delivering these initiatives. It's a pat on the back. It's a sense that says, as employees, the hours that I've spent giving back are recognized and seen as actually worthwhile, and that this is the way you can do banking. Importantly, of course, the awards also challenge us to continue improving. So when an organization receives the recognition, it creates responsibility to maintain high standards, not necessarily to keep winning the awards, but to say you've been seen by others as doing great. Don't drop that standard. Innovate further and continue delivering measurable outcomes for stakeholders. For me, the greatest validation is not necessarily the trophy on a shelf or the certificate. It's really seeing tangible results in people's lives. You know, when a young person gains employment, when an entrepreneur grows their business, when communities have greater access to opportunities that are really meaningful, that's for us the strongest indication that we're doing something right. So I think, Modiwa, awards are certainly an affirmation that we're on the right path, and we are proud of that recognition. But the true measure of success is the positive impact we create. And if our initiatives are helping people build better futures, supporting entrepreneurs to grow and contributing to a more inclusive economy, then that is the achievement that matters the most.
No, understood 100% on that point. Good to have the recognition, but we can't be necessarily stuck on awards, you know, as an element of validation. Edna, where I want to end the conversation is around one of the points that you've just highlighted now, when you said one of the big areas of importance is making sure that the initiatives are helping to solve some of the big issues in the country. You touched on, you know, employment, and earlier on you highlighted skills development as some of the things that you're working on and you're trying to solve through your various initiatives. Unemployment is one topic that the country is definitely not shying away from, and it becomes important for the private sector to lend that helping hand where it can. And it's good to hear that you have a number of things. So from an African Bank point of view, what are you doing to help to curb that unemployment in a sustainable manner, through skills development, especially where the youth is concerned? Youth and unemployment is a theme that we touch on quite a bit on this platform. So keen to really gain a deeper insight into some of what you were highlighting earlier on.
Madiwa, you're absolutely correct. You know, youth unemployment is one of the most pressing challenges facing our country. And, while no single organization can solve the issue alone, business most definitely has an important role to play. Our focus as African Bank is on helping young people become work ready and economically active. And we do this through initiatives that support education, skills development, workplace exposure, entrepreneurship, and employability. Our objective is not simply to provide temporary opportunities, but to really help create sustainable pathways into employment or self-employment. Because one of the things that we realized as we were, you know, on this journey of contributing towards reducing youth unemployment is that it doesn't always land with absorption of all of those who would have participated in such programs, because we simply, especially into the corporatized kind of economy, because we just don't have enough jobs in corporate for us to be able to absorb all of the youth that is unemployed. So therefore, self-employment becomes another avenue that we then started really focusing on as African Bank. And then we also recognize that future jobs will increasingly require digital, financial, and entrepreneurial capabilities. Therefore, we continuously evaluate how our programs can prepare young people for the changing world of work. The youth initiatives that we've got are designed around empowerment rather than dependency. So we really prioritize skills development and training, financial literacy and capability building, because one thinks that you must first be an adult and have a lot of money before you need to understand your relationship with money and how you should be able to ensure that you prepare yourself for all seasons. But it's not always the case. In fact, the earlier you learn, the better. We also prioritize leadership development, entrepreneurship support, and then the career readiness and employability, so that we really equip our youth with practical skills, confidence, and opportunities that improve the ability to participate in the economy. What excites us the most as African Bank is seeing participants move from learning to action, whether it is securing employment, completing studies, launching businesses, or contributing positively to their communities. The part that for us also became clearer was sometimes these opportunities are available, Mudiwa, but not accessible. So for example, when we've got different type of youth unemployment programs, one of them called YDP, the African Bank YDP program, is where we really focus on those that are not necessarily graduates. So meaning quite a large number of them who are participants would only have completed studies up to the equivalent of grade 12 or matric. And further than that, they wouldn't necessarily have completed further education and training. What then happens with some of these youth is that you would find that they've got day-to-day activities that are really survivalist entrepreneurship type. So they are selling sweets or chips and snacks and so forth. They're selling amagwinya, scones, fruits and veg and the like. Every single day that they make sales is funds that they use for them to be able to help support themselves and their loved ones for the day and sometimes even for the week. When we then make opportunities of this nature available, remember that you would have been getting paid at the end of a month after you have worked. So if your first month of employment, let's say, for example, is January, the entire month of January, you need to make your way to and from work. And then only at the end of January do you then get compensated. We then came up with the African Bank Care Package. And what the African Bank Care Package does is that you sign your employment contract for the YDP. You then go into the week of learning, because it's an accredited program. You go into your first week of learning. By the end of that first week of learning, you then receive the care pack, which is an amount that covers your transport for the month. It covers you to be able to purchase a smartphone, and we're not talking here about flashy smartphones. It's a smartphone that can be able to carry the likes of WhatsApp, because you know now in the place of work, you've got WhatsApp groups wherein you guys together work and deal specific projects or really logistics and so forth around specific projects. We then ensure that you can be able to afford data and airtime for that month for that phone. We ensure that it covers a basic groceries so that you're not worried about those that you've left at home. And you can be able to buy your basic groceries, your mealy meal, your protein and so forth for the month. But you've also got enough for you to be able to purchase clothing that allow you to have the confidence to say, I can be able to enter the place of work looking like others who also belong here. And I also now have that sense of belonging instead of withdrawing because I feel as though I don't have even, you know, the attire that says I am dressed and ready for work. It allows you to also afford even funds for lunch so that as you're at work, you can have your lunchbox and, you know, your sandwiches and so forth that you carry on a daily basis. And then just a little bit of pocket money, especially if you are quite clever around how you utilize it. So you would have covered transport, meals, the device that you're going to purchase, the data and airtime, the clothing, as I said, the groceries for home and so forth. That is the lump sum that we give you. We are very specific in dealing this care package, in ensuring that we say to these youth, this is not the salary. You will still get your normal salary at the end of the month. So in the 12-month program, you would have received 13 payments as opposed to 12 payments. However, we are trusting you and giving this care pack to you at the outset, right at the beginning of the program, with the hope and the faith that you understand that African Bank is showing you that we have the audacity to believe in you as our YDP participant. So that one day you don't sit back and say, nobody ever cared enough to give me the starting up element that I required for me to actually access the opportunities that were available to me. Now you've got no reason to say, I don't have transport, I don't have food, I don't have clothing, I don't have a device, because we've given all of that to you right at the onset, and we will still pay you your normal salary at the end of the month. So, you know, the unfortunate part is one would think with that we would have an absolute 100% completion rate. We have got one of the highest that I've ever seen, very high 90s, but we have had one or two that have actually dropped out of the program because that becomes a quick buck for them to pocket. And it's not necessarily them looking at the long term benefit that they could be able to gain.
On that note, that's how we come to the end of the discussion. It has been a really great one, just understanding from Edna what's happening in the sustainability and transformation space through the lens of African Bank, some of the work that they are doing. And I think the overall theme around this is the fact that they've taken a really practical approach to how they go into the communities that they serve, looking at the various problems that people are facing on a daily basis, and how do they address some of those challenges, making sure that they're able to have that type of impact. What she was describing at the end there, just around youth employment, some of the programs that they have, I think it perfectly encapsulates, you know, that approach to say you have a young person and they're coming in as being part of a program. But one needs to recognize the fact that there are so many barriers and challenges that are facing youth today in terms of actually even getting them to work. Some of the simple things like just having the appropriate attire to show up to your place of employment. It does need a different way of thinking, a different approach to how you structure that program. You've got your normal salary, but built into that is a 13th payment, what she calls a care package, that is able to take care of some of those things that would otherwise, you would have been a burden for a person who's coming in to that program. Some of the work that they do around entrepreneurship, how do you engender a sense of financial literacy? She mentioned the fact that you don't have to wait until you have money to actually learn how to have a good relationship with money. And that's a very practical way of doing it. That's the communities, that's the stakeholders. We spoke at length just around how African Bank has gone about making sure that the employees that they have within their stable are engaged, that they feel like they want to contribute, that they're excited to do some of this work, and making it easy, making sure that you've got a leave day that is built into someone's year so that they can do some of this work unencumbered. And like I said, a very practical way of attacking this issue around sustainability and transformation. So that's where we end the conversation. We were talking to Edna. She is the Chief Sustainability and Transformation Officer over at African Bank. Edna, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Mdiwa. This was a lovely engagement indeed.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So, for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.